Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to our Good Friday Communion service as we continue through Holy Week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic Sunday as we gather this weekend. It's always great to see so many of you out today on our Good Friday Communion service and our family breakfast as we come and gather together. See a lot of smiling faces. That must mean people had a good breakfast today. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. And I want to give some big thanks and a big shout out to everyone on Team Calvary who make today possible. It's a lot of work, a lot of moving pieces to feed and make everybody happy on a day like this. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you. You know who you are, from the kitchen to the setup crew to everyone involved. We could not do it without you. And this week, all of you have been inviting people, I'm hoping, and praying for people. And so maybe between today and Sunday, you could remind them, go pick them up, and encourage them to come out, because our teams have been preparing and getting ready. And believe you me, they are ready to roll. And Easter at Calvary is going to be fantastic. I've always said before that this season offers a fantastic opportunity for people to respond that wouldn't normally respond at other Sundays throughout the year. Easter is a day when people who are far from God will often say yes to an invitation, because I have found that people need hope. Hope is a very real thing, and when you don't have it, you know it. And so Easter represents the defining moment for humanity when the great price for hope was paid for. So again, I want you to do three things for me. The first one, pray for all of the services this Sunday, would you? Pray for those that will be making commitments to follow Christ, perhaps for the first time. Then invite someone between now and Sunday, maybe on Saturday, tomorrow, go out and connect with your neighbors, with your family and friends. Let's bring them with us on Sunday. Out of the 52 Sundays of the year, Easter is your best opportunity to get yes, so let's get out there and participate. On Sunday, we want to see you here with your family. Let's come. Let's celebrate together. If you're joining us online from wherever you are in the world, join us on the broadcast at 9 a.m. on Easter Sunday. We'd love to have you with us to celebrate, and we look forward. We look forward to seeing all of you here in the house and online. Our hosts will be there to welcome and greet you, so make sure that you tell them where you're joining us from. Now, each of the Gospels provides for us, as we've been talking about in this series, a beautiful portrait of who Jesus is. And each author of those Gospels sees things a little bit differently, all similar in unity, but different details that really make the Gospels special to us. But in the Gospel of John, an all-important phrase is spoken by Jesus himself, a phrase that we heard when God interacted with Moses when he was calling him to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And he said, well, who am I going to tell the people that sent me to do this? You tell them that I am sent you. The same I am we see here as Jesus in seven different times here says this same phrase, I am. And in these statements, we see the fullness of Christ's character. To the dead man, Jesus was life, right? To the criminal, he was a second chance. To the searching, he was the long-awaited answer. People have been asking questions for centuries, and to those that ask those questions, he is the answer. And to all of us, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And without a doubt, one of the most famous verses in the New Testament is found in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus describes himself this way. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, meaning no exceptions, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you've ever lined up in your life for anything fun and waited ridiculously long, you know, in some crazy winding line to get in, you know what I'm talking about when I say this to you, that it is a test of your patience to wait to get in. You've waited for the date to come to this particular thing you've bought a ticket for. Now you're waiting again, waiting in a line. But that line usually ends at an individual as a security guard or a ticket taker, someone who you have to go through in order to gain entrance to the fun. Because the bottom line is that if you do not go through that individual first, no fun for you. That is the truth. Now, Thomas and the rest of the disciples were struggling to comprehend that Jesus was going to leave them. Even though he warned them on multiple occasions, they still couldn't seem to accept this. They figured, listen, man, wherever you are going, we're going with you, right? That seems to make sense. They didn't realize what he needed to accomplish. But Jesus was going ahead of them, much further than they knew, to prepare the way. His suffering and his death on the cross was necessary so that they could be granted access to the Father. So, as they struggled with this reality, Jesus was trying to help them understand that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that he was their one and only source for salvation. To get to the Father, to experience the new life that they had been promised, they needed to go through the great I Am. But in between this significant I Am statement and the resurrection life of Easter, the deliverance and the power and the celebration that would come with it, in between that point was suffering. The suffering of the cross that we see that picture so vividly painted on a day like this. It was on Calvary's rugged cross that the brutal price for our salvation was paid in full. And when I say brutal, I mean brutal. It was horribly painful. Nobody had ever suffered like Jesus would suffer. Jesus would take the worst punishment that the world in that day could throw at an innocent man and forever transform it into a powerful symbol of hope and love. A cross that would now not be a weapon of torture and death, but it would be a symbol of hope for then and for generations to come. There would be no Resurrection Sunday without first going through and enduring the pain that this day represents. There would be no new life without going through the way, the truth, and the life to experience it. Now, as we see ourselves in this Good Friday moment, I want to jump back a bit in time to the day prior to his death, when he gathered the 12 together for a very important supper. And he wanted to leave them with a lasting memory that they would never forget as he shared his final words that ring true to us today. I think we can all look back to a time in our life, to memorable occasions that were somehow connected to a meal where we were sitting with the people we love around a table, wishing somebody a happy birthday, an anniversary, some type of a wedding or a graduation. These are all moments that have similarities to the kind of intimacy that took place at this gathering. He brought the 12 together, his closest followers, around a table for one last supper. Again, a supper they would never forget, a supper they would always be thankful for, that they would go back over and over in their mind about the words that he spoke. And then to understand with great clarity how they could be thankful for what he did when they saw what took place on the cross. They broke bread together, they shared the cup together, symbolic of what was to come, but they couldn't imagine how horrible it would be and how triumphant it would be all at the same time. Today, as part of our time together, we're going to do the same and receive together communion as a church family, to pause on this day to take time to express our love for God for sending his Son to lay down his life for all of us so that we in turn could pick ours up and to live the new life that he promised us and to share it with a world that is in desperate need of that same hope. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says it so powerfully when it says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, but abundantly free. The only way that we can experience eternal life is by knowing the eternal God. And the only way that we can know God is by accepting the free gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who paid for it all on Calvary's cross of redemption. So what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, whether you're here in the house today or joining us from home or somewhere around the world on our broadcast, I'd like to invite you all to join us as we take time to remember what he did for us, as we prepare to receive the emblem symbolic of his broken body and blood. If you're here in the house, make sure that you have the emblems with you. If you're joining us online, again, grab some juice or wine, cracker or bread, and we'd love for you to be a part of this moment with us as a church family. On the night before Jesus would lay down his life and be put to death on the cross, he had supper with his disciples. He said, "This bread and this wine represent my body and my blood, broken and shed for the forgiveness of your sins, that you could experience new life through me." 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 24 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive together. God the Father had a plan for our salvation long before we even knew we needed one. He could have stopped the suffering of his son just in an instant, but he didn't, because he knew he had to see his plan through to completion. The passion of Christ is seen in his willingness to sacrifice everything, all of it, for you and I to live abundantly, free life. That's what he saw. What got him through that day and through that moment was your face, your children, your spouse, your family, your neighbors. He looked through time and saw you and what you could be, free from sin. 1 Corinthians 11, 25 to 26 says that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's receive. Jesus is our point of entry to knowing the Father in an intimate way. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, we can personally know the way, the truth, and the life. Today, as we close our communion service in prayer, I want to pray for all of you. Those of you that are searching, that still need to know him, those of you that need to come closer, that see and value what this day and this moment represents as we prepare ourselves for the celebration that is to come on Sunday. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for paying for my sin and securing my place with you for eternity. On this great Friday, I accept you in my life and your free gift of forgiveness. I love you, Lord, and I choose to follow you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's best to you all. Pray that you'd have an amazing Good Friday with your family, and that you would be prayerfully inviting and believing for those that are coming on Sunday. Can't wait to celebrate with you. We'll see you on Sunday.